up and listen, because this is not easy, brother. This is one of those crazy messages. Last week on the property, Zechariah. Remember Zechariah, the old prophet from the Old Testament? Well, I call this off-roading because you never hear from these guys much, but it's the Bible, it's the Word of God. It's not easy. It's not easy to do. It's not easy to communicate messages way back when, and prophecy sort of a little bit strange and mysterious anyway. But we're going to try it. We got some more off-roading today, I call it. And we're going to look at, we've been off-roading in the past. Yes, we have. And this is something I do occasionally. And we're going to go some off-roading again. And they're going to do a little focus around Thanksgiving time and this early service on some words like serving and gratitude and things like that. But we're going to look into the past. See what we can discover. Here we go. Go look at this guy right here. Say that name with me. Micah. One more time. Micah. One more time. Now, if I had to ask you, do you know anything about Micah? If somebody had to ask that question, do you know anything about Micah? I got a feeling there'd be a few hands that go up. Most hands would go no. Let's try to do it that way. How many of you probably don't know a whole lot about Micah? Can I see your hand? That's what I thought. That's what I thought. So we should learn a little. Amen? Let's learn a little bit. This little book in the Bible, Micah. I titled the message today, A Faithful Servant. Say that with me. And we're going to go real fast at the beginning to get somewhere so I can make sure you're left with something that you need. Micah was a prophet. He prophesied from around 740 to 690 B.C., about 50 years. So about 700 or so years before Jesus. You understand?
This is old.
The word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Morasthite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. I won't be able to read all the verses. I'm going to go through the points, Roger, so I can get moving. Micah lived on the border of the Philistines in a town called Moresheth. Okay? You don't really need to know that, but it's there. You should hear it. He prophesied during these reigns of these different kings. He was the only prophet, only one, to prophesy both to the northern kingdom, that's Samaria, and to the southern kingdom, which is Jerusalem. He's the only one that did that, specifically, with his prophecy. He was quoted by the Magi. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? When the wise men came to see Jesus, when they came to see baby Jesus, who are they quoting? They're quoting this guy. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Yes, what was the prophet's name? Micah. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou the least of the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So, he was quoted by the Magi about Jesus coming. He also was quoted by Jesus when he sent out his disciples. It's pretty interesting. Jesus could quote anybody. He's quoting this guy. John 10, I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother, and I always say that was easy. A man's foes shall be those of his own what? Who said that? Jesus said it. Where did Jesus get it from? Micah. Micah has three major themes in this little book. Israel's sin, destruction because of that, and in a beautiful word, say it with me, restoration. Amen. So Micah, a faithful servant. Why did we call it a faithful servant? Well, you'll get there in just a minute with me. Some prophecies of Micah. I went over those last week with you with Zechariah. There's all those prophecies that Zechariah had last week when we were on the property. It was amazing. Six of those seven have already come to pass. The seventh one is Jesus coming again. And I believe all six came true. The seventh one's going to come true. Amen? And so, let's look at some prophecies of Micah. He said Judah would suffer a 70-year Babylonian captivity. I don't have time to read all the scripture. It happened. Keep going. It was a remarkable prediction because Assyria was the strong power sweeping away everything in its path. And it would be almost 100 years before Babylon became a world power. And they fell to Babylon. Assyria fell to Babylon around 606 B.C. So all this had to happen for Judah to fall. Number two, the Messiah, the Christ, this is incredible. He says it 700 years before it ever happened. He said Jesus Christ, our Messiah and Lord, would be born, somebody guess where? In Bethlehem. Now, here's perspective. Bethlehem is like saying, don't quote me for sure on this, but it'd be like saying Jesus would be born, you know, in Elgin. Or Placida. It's not a major city. It's very small. It's just a little tiny small place 5 miles outside of Jerusalem. Back that up. I want them to see it. But thou Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the what? Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto that, unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old and from everlasting. He prophesied that Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, would be born in the little town of Bethlehem. And if you know the story in Luke, you know that a taxing had to take place. All these crazy things had to take place just for Jesus. He's really from Nazareth. Is that right? Somebody tell me. Sure he is. But to fulfill God's word to the T, it happened just like the prophet said. Now that ought to give you some hope in your life. Are y'all listening to me? It's the only place in the Old Testament where it states where Jesus would be born. Only place in the Bible. In the Old Testament. Of course, it's a very small town located about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. Been there many times. I can't tell you the first time I saw Bethlehem how disappointed I was. I'm thinking, oh, little town of Bethlehem. You know, I thought, wow, Bethlehem. I go, is this Bethlehem? Unbelievable. Third prophecy, Israel will be set aside until their spiritual rebirth during the tribulation period. He mentions that. We're going to pass that. Just go right past it. Just some help. Let's just see some things. The nations are going to come against Israel at Armageddon. He prophesies the battle of Armageddon and what's going to happen in the last days. This man did that under the inspiration of God and his prophecy. Okay? Keep going. Lots of scripture on this. If you want to go to the website, you can check it all out. I left it in just so you could see, but I knew my time's going to be tough today. Number five, the nations are going to be utterly destroyed. I'll execute vengeance and anger, he says, and fury upon the heathen such as they've not ever seen or heard. That's going to happen. Number six, Jesus Christ, his last prophecy about end times, Jesus Christ will what? Rule and reign. Okay, Micah 4:1-8, lots of stuff. We're going to have to flip through this, Raj. Okay, cool. Now, where are we going today? Are y'all alive? That should give you some confidence about this rascal, amen? About what he's about to say. What can I learn today from this man? Well, God had a problem with his people. Say that. God had a problem with his people. He had a problem with his people, Israel. And this book talks about that. And there's a truth. Matter of fact, we put it to a song. Somebody put it to a song years ago, and I'm going to sing it here in just a second. Just a little brief thing. He had a problem with his people. Keep looking. Basically, God says, what have I done to make you so tired of serving me? God says in this book, what have I done to make you so tired of serving me? Okay? Look at it. Hear ye now what the Lord says. Chapter 6. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy or problem. And you strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy or a problem with his people. And he will plead with his people Israel. O my people, say it with me. What have I done unto you? Wherein have I wearied you? Why is it so hard? What have I done that you won't serve me? Amen? Wow. Keep looking. So he asked that question. And so I put this question on the top. How do I get tired of serving God? How do I get tired of serving God? What happens here in the Old Testament? What happens now, currently? Why do people get tired of serving God? That's what Micah dealt with. Number one's an ungrateful spirit. You hear me say? I mean, I don't want to say too much about this, but we can moan and groan about America. But I tell you what, when you think about this great country and where you live and what you have, when you look at the rest of the world and you get your head back on where it ought to be, you start to be thankful again, don't you? Say, what happens in the Christian life? We get saved. God loves us. God blesses us. We have life and freedom and how good He is to us. But we get ungrateful. The number one reason that we stop serving the Lord is we get a spirit that's not the right spirit. Y'all listening to me? An ungrateful spirit. For I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I redeemed you out of the house of the servants. You used to be servants. Now you own the mess. What have I done to you, God says? And I sent before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Don't you remember where I brought you from? Isn't that good for our heart today? Yes or no? Why do I get weary of serving God? Well, I'm tired of going to church. Or I'm tired of being a witness. Or I'm tired of giving to the Lord's work. Well, number one thing is an ungrateful spirit. It happens. It happens to me. I get ungrateful. You kidding me? I struggle with that. I have to slap myself upside the head. Number two, how do I get tired of serving God? Religious phoniness. Back from Micah. Oh, my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. False prophet from Shittim unto Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. This was just about being a false prophet, not really a person of God. That happens in our life. We can stop serving God, and we can, if we're not careful, start just going through the motions, and we can start just becoming a phony in our life. Y'all listening or not? And you might say, Pastor, I can't believe you say that. It happens to me. Hey, it's in the Word. It happens, guys. This is a battle. We have an adversary of the devil. You think he wants to get us off track? Amen. Say, of course he does. Number three, dishonesty. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? The point that Micah's making in a lot of these scriptures is that we go through the motions, we can become phony, and then even our deeds and our services that we're doing, they're just dishonest before the Lord. Amen? I know I did that pretty quick, but I want to still get somewhere. So God says, I got a problem with you, Israel. I got a problem. You have an ungrateful spirit. You're not true in your heart. And what you're doing is not honest before me. So Micah asked this question. Are y'all bored to tears yet? Micah asked this question. What does the Lord require of us? Say that with me. What does the Lord require of us? What does the Lord want from me? What does the Lord want from me? What is God's plan for my life? What does He want from me? What will make Him happy? What is the right thing for me to do? And before we answer that question, there's a scripture here in Micah. Is God unreasonable and overbearing? Is God unreasonable and overbearing for demanding my service? Is He unreasonable and overbearing? And look at this scripture. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Oh, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Has God asked you to go out and kill your kid? Somebody tell me, yes or no? No, He killed His son for you and me. He's not asked that. He doesn't ask unreasonable things out of us. Shall I give Him 10,000 rivers? God's not asking anything out of anybody that's unreasonable. Matter of fact, the Bible says, Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Say it with me if you know it. Which is your what? Reasonable what? Service. So, God puts His scripture in here to say to us, have I asked you to go kill your son? Have I asked you to give something that you're not able to give? Have I asked you to do something you're not able to do? And yet you get tired, you quit on me? What's up with that? So then it goes back to the question. Okay, God, you've got my attention. What should I do? Here it is. What does God want from me? One of the greatest verses in the Bible, in my view, right here it is. Micah 6:8. He had shown thee, O man. What do you mean what you should do? He's shown you what is good and what the Lord, what? Requires of you. And here it is. Say it with me. To do, to love, and to walk before your... One more time. To do, to love, to walk. One more time. To do, to love, to walk humbly before your God. But what is it? I want to sing that to you. You might know it. He hath shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Try it. He hath shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. One more time. He hath shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee. Here we go. But to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. But to do justly, come on, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. One last time. But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Let's look at that real quick. We got about 7 minutes. What does God want from me? To do justly. Say that with me. To do what? What does it mean? It means God wants for me to do right. God wants me to be honest. God wants me to stop making excuses about my behavior. Blaming it on some. Are you kidding me? God says, bull, ain't flying. Amen. To do justly. Number two, to love what? To love mercy. To appreciate the forgiveness of God through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. God expects you and me to love what He did for us on the cross. You listening? He expects us to be grateful every day that our sins are forgiven, that our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that heaven's our home, that we have the Spirit of the living God indwelling us, abiding us. Are you kidding me? That we have the precious Word of God to tell us about His great love. Amen. Say, to love mercy. Jesus speaking, Pharisee and a prostitute, I think, in the house of this Pharisee. He turned to the woman. He said to the Pharisee, he said, you see this woman? I entered into your house, Mr. Pharisee. You didn't give me no water for my feet. But this prostitute, this woman who's repentant, she's washed my feet with the tears. She's wiped my feet with the hairs of her head. Listen, Mr. Pharisee, when I came in, you didn't give me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in here, she hadn't ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you didn't anoint, but this woman, she's anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are what? Are what? For she loves what? She loved mercy. She loved mercy. She loved mercy. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves what? Little. What does God expect out of me? To do justly. Number two, to love what? Mercy. To don't get tired of being forgiven. Amen. Say, don't get tired of being forgiven. Don't ever get tired of that. Remember who you are. Remember what you are. Remember your sins. Man, take you to devil's hell. That's where they were taking you. Don't ever forget that. Amen? And if you're like a lot of us in this room, and you know you've done things in the past that you shouldn't have done, and He's forgiven you for that, man, you remember that mess you did. Y'all listening today? And say, man, thank you, Jesus. I love your mercy. Amen! I mean, that's the way we ought to be. This keeps you serving the Lord, by the way. This will help you keep serving the Lord. You keep doing the right thing. You keep loving His mercy, and you'll be surprised how you don't quit. Y'all listening or not? Y'all hearing me? I'm talking to the choir or something this morning. Okay. Number three, what does God want from me? To do justly, to love mercy. Number three, to walk what? Humbly. What does that mean? Obviously, it's my words. Hate being a phony. Hate that. Hate that. Walk humbly. Don't just go through the motions. Don't try to play the game. Stop doing that. Is that pleasing to God? Yes or no? But we do it because it flies with other folk. But God, it doesn't fly with God. Now, it flies with religious folk. It doesn't fly with lost folk. See? When we're a phony, it flies with religious folk. Because see, they see that, you know, you're going through it and you're doing it. Yeah, look at them. Lost people. If they ever get a glimpse of you being a phony, you're done. You're done. Are you hearing me? Yes or no? You're done. They won't have any confidence in you. They won't have any trust in you if they see that out of us. Amen. See, this is a big picture God's saying. Come on, walk humbly. What does it mean to be walk humbly with God? Say this right here. Don't what? Oh, let's say that again. Come on. Don't what? Realize your imperfections. That's what it is to walk humbly. Don't overrate yourself. Believe it or not, you ain't all that. And believe it or not, I ain't all that. Amen? What is life? It's a vapor that appears little for a little time, then vanishes away. That's who we are, guys. Amen? It'd be better the time we've got on this planet, instead of patting ourselves on the back, it'd be better on this planet to walk humbly before the Lord. Amen? Be the real deal. Don't overrate yourself. Hey, what does it mean to walk humbly with God? Know your Lord is what? And greatly to be praised. Know that God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen? Not what? You or who? Me. I'm all for encouraging. I love encouragement. I love encouraging you. But at the end of the day, boy, we don't ever let that go to our head now. It's all about Him. Amen? Say, keep that humble spirit. He's great to be praised. So let's look at those three things one more time. We're done with the message. Here we go. We're done. What did Micah teach us today? Micah taught us this. God says, what have I done? Where you get tired of serving me? Have I asked you for your firstborn? Have I asked you to do the impossible? Give me 10,000 rivers. No, I don't ask that out of you at all. Here's what I ask. That you do justly. That you love mercy. And that you walk humbly. How hard is that? That's what God's saying. Amen? And do this. Great is the who? And greatly to be what? In the city of our God. In the mountain of His holiness. That's a song too. Put it up. How many remembers that song? Do you remember? I sort of forget it. Can you help me? How does it start? Greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. See, I remember that, but I'm forgetting. I'm getting old. Amen? But anyway, great is the Lord. Greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Amen? So today, Micah, a faithful servant, a voice from the past, has blown into Fellowship Church this morning, and he's saying, serve the Lord. Amen? Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly before your God, praise the Lord, and God's going to bless you. Amen? Come on, praise the Lord with me this morning. That's what he says. It's a great old prophet, baby. Amen. Let's stand.